Hi, welcome to our podcast, Where Next? Travel with Kristen and Carol. We are two moms with a passion to travel.
Each episode, we interview people around the globe to explore where to go next. In today's episode, we are meeting with Catherine, an empty nester from the U.S. who is now residing in Costa Rica.
Kristen, you're Carol. Okay, well, nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Where are you?
California.
Guys, okay.
So I'm from Southern California, and then I moved up to San Francisco Bay Area. So I'm in Concord, which is actually how Carol and I met in 96, somewhere around there.
Something like
and
that.
And so, we worked together at a company called Robert Half. And so that's where we met. We were in the same apartment complex. And then 25 years later, we got reconnected.
Awesome.
And then Carol?
Yeah. So I'm out in Boulder, Colorado. So I lived in California for 11 years, LA for a little bit, San Francisco for 10 years. And then when my second child was in my belly, we moved out to Colorado. Now we have some family out here. And so Kristen and I, so we met pre-families, right? And so now we're both getting close to being empty nesters. I think you have 5 years, 4 years, three-ish, you know, so we got kids in high school. We both used to travel and be super adventurous. And then we kind of stalled that a little bit, you know, let the kids' sports rule our lives. and so now we're like, well, I want to go everywhere. Kristen has a passion for Costa Rica. I really want to go to Portugal. I want to go to Cambodia. And so we're like, let's just start talking to people in these places and figure out like what we have to do when we get there. Do we want to move there? Do I want to work there? Do I not want to work there? And so this is kind of some of the things we want to learn about.
So you guys are probably about like what, maybe 5 years now? How old are the kids right now?
So I have
how old are your kids?
My youngest is a freshman in high school.
So I've got 14 and 16, but they're in eighth grade and 11th grade.
Okay. So I moved here. Yeah. I actually expatriated a little earlier than I planned. I knew at some point, I thought, well, I'm going to do this. My daughter was a senior in college and my son was a freshman in college.
Okay. Nice.
But I always say to people, I say it was the perfect timing because my daughter needed me a little too much and my son didn't need me at all. So
that's me. That is me.
It was a good kind of break from my daughter who is a little bit, you know, she just needed confidence. You know what I mean? But she was, she just needed to be on her own and she did. And she's actually in Colorado. So,
nice.
In New York. Nice. Yeah. She's in, little teeny tiny town outside of Breckenridge called Heaney.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. I know the area for sure. Definitely skied it. And then Kristen has some roots in Colorado too, but
I didn't even realize it until my mom's dad, his sister, his family, they're all there. So all of them, and there are a lot of there are a lot of park rangers and things, and then my grandpa's dad actually opened up all the national parks across the U.S. And they may have been in Colorado where in Aspen there, I guess they were there quite a bit and there's a whole bunch of things in their museum, but I don't know. I've never been there. Well, I have been through there, but not, you know, been to the museum or anything. So, but I am so interested. I don't know anything. When you left, what you do, where you live in Costa Rica. I'm so excited about learning all of that. I actually visited Costa Rica in 2002. I went for a month and the rainy season in October. I kind of went backpacking, pseudo backpacking. Yeah, I flew into San Jose, took a little biplane to Osa Peninsula, stayed at Bosque de Cabo for, I don't know, like 5 days.
And you were in the Osa Peninsula. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rustic. Technically my province is part of the OSUP. We're in the Punta Arenas province, but we're not the peninsula.
Nice.
Yeah. But I have, I just drove my friend, ex-boyfriend actually, but he has a place in the OSUP Peninsula, a little teeny tiny town called Sabalo or village really. So I drove him to Sierpe And then he loaded all his luggage into this little boat and headed to the OSA. But it's a little bit, I mean, that's kind of like the wild, wild west down there.
It was awesome. I had a 5-star hut, I called it, that I lived in.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's really popular. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was like the airport was like a dirt path and it looked like a bus stop. There was nothing there. It's just like a little bus stop. You wait for your plane. And then I lived on a kayak for 3 days where it was in the Golfo Dolce, and the phosphorescence in the water. But it was October. It was rainy. There's no one there. I was the only guest on the property. And I was the only person, kayaker.
And where is the OSA Peninsula? So I'm just bringing up a map. I'm looking at
the southernmost tip on the west side. So you can, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's like, but is it like where the Pacific. Is it like Pavones or?
Yes,
exactly.
Pavones and Kudo.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So Pavones is on like the other side. Where did you say you were on Golfo Dolce?
Golfo Dolce. Right? It's that just that Gulf, the Dolce Gulf.
Yeah. So that's near Golfito, which I guess is this side. So the peninsula is, you know, literally a peninsula that comes out and then it's got the Gulf on one side, which should be the Pavones, and people, that's a huge surfing community, Pavones and San Cudo. And then it's just not very accessible. Like where my friend lives, he doesn't have any electricity. He's totally off the grid. Almost everybody is. Yeah. It's all the way down south.
Right. And it looks like that's the border almost to the next country.
So if you go around the other side, you would border with Panama. So before I had my residency, I would do what we call border runs. You have to leave the country every 3 months. And I would just go down to Panama because it's about an hour and a half. And I would cross the border into Panama. It used to be you had to stay out for 72 hours, but now they just let you shop. So they let you go shop in Panama for 3 hours and then they stamp you back in. And the visas are, from what I understand, I used to work in immigration when I worked at a private high school, but immigration is dictated. It's like both countries agree. So in other words, we let Costa Ricans come to the United States for 90 days. They let us come for 90 days. If you go to China, you can get like a longer visa, but it's all kind of negotiated amongst the countries. We call them perpetual tourists. You just have to leave every 90 days and then come back in. But there are people who own land and own homes here and they don't have residency. They don't have any kind of residency. They just leave every 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
Which, that's a little nerve wracking for me. So I do have a residency. I have what's called investor status because if you invest, which can be your home, your land, your car, everything. If you can show that you have invested $200,000 US in the country, then you can apply for investor residency. And then there are other residents who are pensionado. If you have a pension and you show that you have a certain amount of money in retirement coming in every month, you can get that kind of residency. They're talking about creating this digital nomad residency specifically because so many people are doing this now. They're going and they're working remotely. You know, we all learned from COVID that we don't necessarily need to go to an office. So there's talk that the country is trying to come up with some kind of a residency for that. But there's a lot of talk. Things in Latin America, things move kind of slowly. So.
Right. And so I have a question. So I've spent a little time in Belize. I worked for a company that was selling real estate out there. So we're doing tours and the big competitor was Costa Rica and Belize. Do you find people that move to Costa Rica, like what's the main difference between those two countries and why people like Costa Rica?
I don't know. I haven't actually had any clients who've been considering Belize as well. We did a write-up on comparing Costa Rica to Panama. I know many people are thinking about Panama as a possible place to live. I've heard great things about Belize, but I don't know the answer to that, to tell you the truth, Carol.
I'm dying to know your story. I want to know, how did you end up in Costa Rica? How did you end up where you're at? What do you do? What's your life story? Like, I have no idea. I'm dying to know.
I've been divorced forever. I was divorced when my son was two. So, but I think when you are divorced, raising kids, I developed a little more independence. Like, you kind of have to. Like, I was the woman who would go into Home Depot and the guy would come by and say, ma'am, you're not allowed to be up on that ladder thing. And I'd be like, what do you mean? I need something and it's up there. I'm just going to go get it. So kind of like, you know, I was like, well, who else is here to do it? Right. It's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I worked in schools for years. My real estate background, ironically, my real estate was my first job out of college. I did that for a little while, but my undergraduate degree was in English teaching. And then I didn't go into teaching right away. I went into administration. So I actually worked in admissions for the University of New Hampshire. Then when we had a horse farm, so I did that, and I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was director of a modeling and talent agency for a little while. I mean, I have like crazy the jobs I've had. Sounds like you two ladies too. Like, I'm getting the impression you've had a lot of hats.
Yeah, absolutely.
My job before I moved here, I was the international student coordinator and the dean of admissions at a private school. So I would recruit all the international students. Traveled all over the world, primarily to Asia. And just, I'm like a traveler. I love culture. I love meeting people. I love the adventure. I love the challenge. So pretty early after starting traveling, I knew that I would expatriate. I was living in Michigan, right outside of Detroit.
Okay.
That's part of the reasoning is that wasn't really my choice. I kind of laughed that I was still married at the time when we moved to Michigan, but it was clear the marriage didn't have too much longer to last. So I don't want to say I went kicking and screaming to Detroit, but it wasn't like my number one choice of places to live. Despite the fact that like both mom and my dad's families were from there. And I grew up in Chicago, so it was close. Yeah. I just thought, well, where would I go after the kids are finished with school? And I thought, actually, if I stayed in the States, I probably would have landed somewhere, Colorado, California, somewhere more outdoorsy. That orientation. And then I'm going to phrase this in a non-partisan, non-political, but there was an election that happened a couple of years ago. And
four years ago.
That had a little impact on my decision. I was like, yep, I'm out. So
that's hilarious.
I felt like, well, when is there really a perfect time? You know, like you can wait. And then that was sort of, I guess I would say that was the impetus. I'm not going to say that that's why I moved, but that was the impetus. And so I had visited Costa Rica several times. And then I just said, wow, I wonder what it would be like to live there. So when I moved here, I had a job. I had residency I had a work visa. I worked for a private school in the San Jose area for Lincoln School. Oh. I taught English. For a year. So I took like the easier, softer route. Like, I didn't just move down here and say, I'm going to buy land and build a house and see what happens and a yoga studio and all that. But I had like a real job. So I had health benefits. They helped me find a place to live. And so it was a really nice transition into living in a foreign country, you know, as a single woman by yourself. And I started looking at land. I bought my piece of land and the goal was to build a yoga studio, not to have it as like a full-time thing, but I thought maybe I'd do retreats and whatever. So, and that's how it happened.
And so what town are you in now?
I'm in Ojochal. It's spelled Ojochal. It's an interesting little community. I kept saying when I was looking at places here, I kept saying, why do all these expats, like why do all these gringos live in Ojochal? What is it about Ojochal? And we have a beautiful backdrop of mountains on one side and easy access to the coast on the other. So I can get to a beach from my house. I don't have ocean views or that. I can get to a beach in 10 minutes and it's amazing. And the particular beach that I'm near also has a turtle reserve. So they go and collect turtle eggs. They incubate them. It's where I believe it's the Ridley Greens have come to nest in this area forever. And we have whales that come back to give birth to their babies. So it spoke to my heart. And I knew when I saw my property, I looked at a lot of properties. My property goes back. There's a river behind me. I walked back to that river and I was like, this is it. And then I built my house.
You know, but Chris and I have been doing a bunch of research. You know, it kind of like what I've heard a lot is like, you know, expatting, you know, really advising not to buy property just because you don't know what that government's going to be like. And you've only been there how long? Like 2 years, 3 years?
4 years.
Four years.
But it's not like you bought it right away. Like, how did you?
I bought it after.
Did you have some fears about buying property, or what helped you decide?
I didn't. It's easy for Americans to own, well, really any expats to own property in Costa Rica. I don't know what the percentages are. That would be an interesting question. How, like, what percentage of property owners are non-nationals? I don't have any idea about that. But in my little village, there are quite a few. But it's a nice mix. Like, it's a nice, culturally, it's a nice mix between non-nationals and nationals.
How much is it to buy a property there? Like, if I was, because, oh my gosh, it sounds amazing. Like, I want to stay there for 3 months or whatever.
It depends. So I bought my land. It's probably, I want to say, about 3 acres. It's in hectares. Uh-huh. So I'm not always converting that. About 3 acres. I paid $75,000 for it. It's not, depending on the type of house you want to build. I mean, my overall investment was obviously because I did apply for residency. So I have about a $200,000 investment between my house and the property and the upgrades I did. I didn't have enough money to totally build. So I built, like, I called it a two-story rancho. I had them like build the structure and I said, I'm just going to like finish it as I go. So like I literally had concrete floors and I had kind of a makeshift kitchen. I mean, I had all my appliances and things, but I didn't have permanent cabinets. And I just lived like that. It was kind of like glamping.
Nice. Yeah.
Totally. And it's interesting because I remembered with, there's a lot of families that I was meeting that moved down there and it seemed like pretty easy and exciting. And it was interesting because I remember when, so I got 16 weeks vacation with my company and I had to find out a place to go. Like, so Costa Rica was one of my places that I went to for a month. And I wanted beaches, mountains, super rustic, off the grid and safe for women travelers. And that's what it was. And it was, and also cost wise, it costed me, this was 2002, $2,000, including all my hotels, all of my plane tickets, all my food, all my excursions, everything. So I was curious if that still holds true in terms of it safe and, you know, that kind of thing. And then secondly, cost wise too, if it's, you know, chain, my guess is yes, but I just hear a lot of people going down there now.
Yeah. So safety wise, I feel very comfortable and safe. You know, I don't leave any valuables in my car ever. I don't leave a backpack. I don't leave anything in my car like that. I would say, so if there's a nicer looking car parked at the beach and there are backpacks in there, I mean, you hear countless stories, regardless of the warnings of tourists, not countless, that's exaggerating, but you know, it always comes up on Facebook. So that's what people don't talk about the numbers of times they go to the beach and don't have a car broken into, but the one time it happens, we always end up hearing about it. Right. Which is good. It's a good warning. So I would say things like that. We have a very low instance of murder, violent crimes. I mean, I don't want to say it's non-existent, but it's very limited. I think, you know, we could pull up the stats on that. I feel very safe. My former school director asked me, she's like, why Costa Rica? And I said, well, I had visited here enough with my friend who lives in the OSA. I was like, you know, if I ever broke down on the side of the road in my car and someone stopped, I would be like, yeah, you can help me. I will take help from you. Like I will borrow your phone. I will, and they will stop. That's the other thing. Like people will stop. You know, I probably wouldn't get in a car with anyone. Like we're, you know, as a woman, you just don't do things like that. Anyway, we've all been trained to do that, but, I feel very safe here.
We were going down from the airport to Bosque de Cabo. I don't know if you've heard that. It's like the southern, very southern tip. From my hut, my 5-star hut, I could see the Panama Canal, so it was at the very bottom, but, it was an open Jeep and we would just keep picking people up and then dropping them off and picking, that's just, everyone was very friendly and they just picked up and dropped off.
They do. And I used to give everybody rides until COVID. I mean, COVID obviously changed the way we live. But if I would see someone on the side of the road, I would, you know, if it was a woman or somebody I recognized in town, I would always offer rides to people. So yeah, that is pretty typical, you know. Hitchhikers, I do. It sometimes makes me a little worried that I see like younger women hitchhiking or whatever. Like I wouldn't tell my daughter to do that. Sure. I mean, it's probably pretty safe here, but like, it's not something that I would advise my daughter to do. I wouldn't do it. But yeah, there are a lot of older women in town who might have bags of groceries, or they don't even ask for a ride and they're walking and I'll pull over and say, would you like a ride? And they're, oh yeah. Or I see people walking toward the bus. The bus is a very common mode of transportation for locals mm-hmm. here. More and more people do have cars, but that's something that's newer. But buses are very popular, and bus transportation, I don't know how you, oh, you said you took a little puddle jumper,
I've done that. And then I did take the buses, but it was from San Jose to Manuel Antonio Beach and the others. And it was literally, I had to stand and it was so packed. It was just like person to person. It was really packed, hot and packed.
Buses. Yeah. I take the bus to San Jose sometimes if I'm not going to get shopping or anything like that. I can't even remember why, but I've taken it a couple times. It's really reasonable. And now you do have assigned seats. So you're probably not, it's not like a chicken bus. Like I've done that in certain parts of the world where you're riding with chickens and goats. It's not that rustic.
Oh my God.
we have pretty nice luxurious buses, and most of which now are actually going to, we have more electric buses that have been introduced. This is one of the other things I love about Costa Rica. Don't quote me on this, but I believe it's within the next 2 years, the entire country is going to be green renewable sources of energy. So it's pretty amazing. I think it's 2 years. Maybe it's three.
It's four.
It's yeah.
That's huge.
It is huge. Yeah.
So it's 2023.
About using solar. And I'm always like, why would you use solar? Electricity is very inexpensive here. And the company that provides electricity is using renewable sources. You know, it's all wind, water, and solar. So it's pretty cool.
I also wondered, because I think I heard in OSA they got running water in the 80s. Like that was a new thing. And so it was very, very rustic. And so I was curious also when you were building your property and that kind of thing. Water and electricity, is it easy to acquire that because it's rustic? Well, or
it is, but there are still plenty of places that do not have what we call legal water. So this is something that comes into my job as a real estate agent. When people are buying land, we do have to ask the question, does it have access to legal water? Which just means that the water source has been approved by a municipality. So my water comes from the town. I get it pumped in, they have a meter. I mean, I pay, it's like $5 million a month, which probably is about $9 a month for water. My electric bill tends to be less than $30, but I did just put in a pool, so it'll go up. I know.
Ours is $350 a month and we have no pool and our house is small. It's under 2000 square feet. It's like 1800. That's awesome.
Yeah. So those costs are pretty reasonable. Electricity, I think I pay about $35 a month for internet. I have pretty good speed. I do teach some classes online and I do Zoom stuff. So internet speed is pretty good. You know, food, it depends how you want to eat. If you want to eat all like American imported foods, it's going to be expensive. But if you eat more of the local, I mean, the produce here is amazing.
So good. It's incredible. It's pretty
expensive. Yeah. I mean, I would say.
And what's the traditional food? Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Traditional food, there are a variety, but I would say some of the local traditional foods, gallo pinto, which is rice and beans. Mm-hmm. They make it in a very Costa Rican way. Chicharrones, I don't exactly know what that is. It involves pork. I don't eat meat, so I don't indulge in that. The Costa Ricans, despite being a Latin country, they don't really like spicy food, so you don't find a lot of spicy dishes. Which is
I was happy about that. I'm not spicy either, so I really loved it there.
But just the access to fresh fruits and vegetables are always a big part of the meal. You get a local, it's called a casado, which is the plate of the day. It always involves a little salad. It has rice and beans. It'll have either, you know, a protein source. It'll have fried plantains. And then there's always a little green salad, whether it's a cabbage salad or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I think the food here
Chicken. I remember chicken and smoothies being really good also.
Yeah, smoothies, yeah, batidos, we call them. And they're available everywhere. It's like, you know, it's mango season now, so everybody will harvest all their mangoes, chop them up, put them in the freezer, and you can just have a beautiful mango smoothie in the morning. I just harvested, I'm on the last of my red bananas. I harvested those I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I think. And so I've been giving those away and I'll put those in the freezer to make smoothies. But yeah.
Amazing. What's red bananas? I don't even know that. I don't know what that is.
I don't know if you can really see them. I'm going to point my computer over toward my, they look kind of sad. They're hanging there, but, I don't know if you can see, they're like hanging on I have about five of them left.
Can you see them? They're growing in your yard on your land.
Yes. Okay. So, I think, when I built, it's probably 2 years now that all my plants went in, but bananas, I mean, they put bananas in and you have a crop within a year. It's amazing. Everything grows here. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I've heard about Costa Rica, that everything's really big in Costa Rica. The fruit's big, but then I also hear like the bugs are big, the ants are big, the ferns are like trees. It's like you're in where the wild things are.
Yes. Jurassic Park. They filmed Jurassic Park in Costa Rica. So the land of the dinosaurs. Like if my neighbors have a plant that I like, I just literally cut it and either stick it in water or just stick it right in the ground. And I'm telling you, like it grows. Everything grows.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I do remember hiking. And there were trees that have like spikes, like rose bushes all the way down. And then there's just like, everything's very big and the root systems, everything just seemed like it was above ground.
Yeah.
Some of it.
It's pretty incredible. I forget how many microclimates there are, but yesterday I went with a friend up into one of the cities that's kind of up in the hills. And we were driving back down and it was pouring and she's like, oh, I hope it's not raining in Ojochal. And I'm like, it's not going to be raining in Ojochal. That's like, you know, that's 10 miles away. I mean, we're not going to, just because it's raining here doesn't mean it's going to be raining there. So literally you can, you know, my friends will come to yoga and they'll say, oh, did you guys get rain last night? And I'm down more in the lowlands. I'm like, no, it didn't rain down here. They'll get rain in the mountains. So it does, it varies quite a bit.
That's amazing. So, and then I remember macaw birds a lot, tree cutter ants everywhere with little, carrying the little leaf. And then the howler monkeys, which that was the very first sound I heard. And I literally turned around and walked back because I was the only guest there. And I was like, it sounded like T-Rex.
And they're only about like a howler monkey, an adult
howler monkey. They're tiny.
They're tiny. And next to the blue whale, they are the loudest mammal on earth.
I'm not surprised. My very first day, my very first morning, I'm in my hut. It is, the sun is just peeking up and it's right next to it. It at least sounded like it was right next to my hut. I was the only guest there on the property. And I jumped out of bed to watch the sunset, which was gorgeous. I took a picture and then I went back to bed, but it was so loud.
Yeah. Oh, they wake you up. So where I live is I'm more of an in-town location because I did build the yoga studio. I wanted to be accessible by two-wheel drive. But I have one, he comes up from the river and I think he has a family because I did have a mom and a baby at one point, but it's usually the one guy and he comes right into the tree right next to my house. My dogs go crazy. And, they're right here. On Easter, we went to the beach and we had a whole troop of them that came over our heads. So we just enjoyed, the beach with a bunch of howler monkeys over our head. And I'll tell you, it never gets old. Like I could see, I see monkeys. I would say on average, I probably see monkeys at least once a week, typically more than that. And it never gets old. Like it's just always like, howler monkeys.
The coolest thing is my hut.
I love that. I love nature. And it was a nice move from Detroit.
So I have a question. So if I wanted to say, okay, I want to go spend a month down there, you know, just to feel it out. And I go to Ojochal, is that how you say it? Would I have to rent a car or could I rely on the bus from the San Jose airport to get me there and then just walk around in town?
You could definitely do that. I mean, I would say to make the most out of it, I would rent a car just because you're going to want to go to waterfalls. You're going to want to go to different beaches. You're going to want to hike up into some certain area. But there are parts that are accessible. Probably Uvita is more of a walking town. Ojochal, we do have a really nice little town center. We're known as the culinary capital of Costa Rica. Ooh. So we have like, yeah, we have like 5 really good restaurants.
Okay.
And, you know, so.
Well, I guess I would probably want to go. So I'm interested like where it's maybe a little quiet, not really the party scene. I don't need to be on the beach. But that, you know, is safe and.
I want the beach.
definitely things are really accessible. And then I would want to tour around a lot, but also if I decide, hey, I want to go spend, you know, 2 months there, you know, place that has good quality internet. So I won't want to go to that, peninsula area that we were talking about earlier. So is there, is it really clear where, you know, these are the touristy area where there's more crime and then these are the more like chill places still, if you have a car, you can travel during the day, but it's kind of more like a little, you know, quiet haven, but has good internet. So that'd be like, yeah, I'd be looking for.
That definitely describes the area I am in. Ojotl is more of a, people tend to live here more. So we're a little less touristy. So if you wanted to come, like, I think it's great. Like, and I tell some of my clients who are moving to Costa Rica for the first time, I'm like, travel around and rent, you know, yes. Which is real estate agents never say that. Real estate agents are supposed to say, buy with me, right? But yeah. Seriously, the areas are so different that you have to get a feel for it. Some people really love the northern parts, like the Guanacaste region. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yep. For me, it was too dry and dusty. It was. I liked the climate. I liked the humidity. I liked the jungle rainforesty feel down here. And if you're in Guanacaste, you can, I mean, even within Guanacaste, you can go to the Nasara Peninsula. The beaches of Samara are great, like a big yogic kind of, is that even a word, yogic? So that's a very popular community. And then I would say, as you get more into Guanacaste, some of those beaches, like we stayed in Playa Flamingo not too long ago. There's there's a Jimmy Buffett hotel and restaurant. So, you know, that's going to be a little more of a touristy area. And then there's the whole Arenal. Like if you don't need beaches, the Arenal Lakes region, Arenal is the volcano, and then there's Lake Arenal. It's beautiful there. I mean, yeah. So there are like many, many regions.
So many. Oh my God.
And I just find for living, you know, if I'm going to call a place home, like this just checked so many boxes for me. Mm-hmm. But I can go visit those other places, and I do. I go up to Chiripo, which is the highest point in Costa Rica, and I go hiking there and just, you know, spend a weekend.
Is it much cooler up there? So if you need a little break from the heat? It is.
Yeah. Like I would.
Well, that's like the cloud forest.
Cold.
Is it up there in the cloud forest?
Yep. And then, yes, that would be part of the cloud forest. In fact, where we just drove from yesterday in San Isidro, we came through cloud cover. Like we were up in the clouds. So you don't have to go that far from where you live.
And do you find people will come visit? Because I feel like when you live somewhere, like I lived in Hawaii, I got quite a few visitors that when I was in my 20s, when people were single, but like anyone that had like a real job and got married, they all said they want to come, but they didn't, you know? So it seems really accessible, but do you find that you get a lot of family? Well, it doesn't sound like you have a huge family, but.
Yeah. Yes and no. I have a friend, an old high school friend. She's coming for a month this summer. She's actually going to house sit for one of my friends. I'm like, hey, Deb, come to Costa Rica. I have a friend who needs to stay at her house. Like, how perfect is that? I know. Well, if you ladies are interested, I've got a week. I'm looking for coverage, so we'll talk after. I have 2 kind of crazy dogs, but yeah, you should both come.
Yeah. Love it.
So my family hasn't, my brother hasn't been here. My sister hasn't been here yet. My stepsister has been here, but she visited me when I was still in my other place in the San Jose area. So she hasn't visited me yet. My stepmom's a little too old to be traveling here. But yeah, I think that's kind of true, Carol. That's a good point. A lot of people say they want to do it. And then, but also I think some people when it depends on the person. My other friends, Keith and Marianne, he's a pilot, so they can fly anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think some people, when they're planning their vacation, they want to just, you know, they want to go to a resort. It's like they want it all taken care
Not
of.
Me.
Neat little package. So, you know, that's a little bit different. My former sister-in-law, she came out with her kids the first year I lived here. So we did we went with my kids and her kids. We were all here at Christmas. We traveled all around. So, I mean, I've had a fair number of visitors, but not as many as I thought I would.
Like everyone's like, oh, I need a spare room for my visitors that you like watch House Hunters International all the time. And they're like, you think you do, but you don't. Or it just turns into an office. All right. And then what about healthcare? That's always a big question. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday from this gal who travels around the world. And she was just saying about like kind of the culture shock coming back from the US. And as she's traveled around the world, as she spent quite a bit of time in Costa Rica as well, she said, you know, healthcare, she was like, I'd always pay out of the pocket, you know, like $20. And she had like some international travel emergency health coverage to like if something major bad happened. But she said in most countries that she's visited, you know, 20, 50, 60, you know, not a lot of money for, I mean, she's younger, so she probably didn't have a lot of health problems. But are you finding that you have to have an insurance program? And do you have a US insurance program? Or how do you manage
that?
Well,
I got my residency, I am covered by the national healthcare system. So I guess it'd be like equivalent to not really Medicaid or Medicare. I don't know. Canada has national healthcare. It'd be similar to that.
Yeah.
So the other day I was showing some property, walking on this property, twisted my foot in my boot, thought for sure my foot was broken. I went to the hospital, great job, in and out, x-rays, doctor looked at it, no broken bones. It doesn't cost me anything. So for that, as part of my residency, I pay in every month. I would say most people pay about $50 a month for the health care, which covers everything. And then I've had friends who don't have health coverage, like gringos, and they did not have, you know, in country healthcare. She fell through a floor, scraped her sides all the way up, was taken in an ambulance, had all kinds of x-rays, all of this stuff. And I think the bill was like, they started at like $400, and then the guy in the, they didn't have the cash, and for the credit card machine wasn't working. And the guy's like, well, I feel really bad charging you this much. So they took the bill down to like $300. I mean, it was mind blowing.
That would cover the gas for a US ambulance, right? Yeah. Oh, well, your gas charge was $300.
Oh my gosh, it was like $25,000 to get. I think it's something like that. My mom was taken in an ambulance like a year ago, and it was astronomical. It's like, I don't know, $10,000 or something like that. It's crazy. So I was curious also, that's another question in terms of budget. Like if I were to go live there or someone or a family or something, how much would you estimate if you're just average, like just kind of, you know, not super high, not low, just kind of normal and like comfortable to budget for
like maybe a 2-bedroom apartment or
eating the Costa Rican food. Like you're trying to be mindful of like, you know, trying to keep your costs down.
So when I was first living here, I did rent, and I would say $700 to $1,000 will get you a nice place, typically with a pool, with, you know, good internet, decent appliances, things like that. So I would allow between $700 and $1,000. You can certainly find places that are less than that. Mm-hmm. But I would say for most North Americans, they're going to want those levels of comfort, right? Mm-hmm. Screens on the windows, things like that. Minor creature comfort, so you don't have bugs. Fans, maybe not, you know, like I don't have any air conditioning. I should turn on my fan right now. It's getting a little warm, but fans, good circulation. I'd say you want to be at $700 to $1,000. And then, so I estimate my total living expenses with some expenses that I still contribute to my kids to be about $1,000 a month. So that's my internet, my water, my food. It covers my health insurance, which is, you know, very inexpensive here. I do have like a Netflix subscription. Not that I'm a huge TV watcher, but you know, during the rainy season, there's not a lot to do. And we go to bed when it gets dark and the rain starts. So I would say I live very comfortably on like $1,000 a month easily. And there's really no financing options in Costa Rica. You might be able to finance through an owner, but you basically pay cash, which is what, I mean, I didn't have $200,000 to shell out. I had 75. Yeah. So I bought my land, and then that's why I kind of built in stages. I just built as I could afford it. Okay. Estimate. I know, right? Estimate for building, I would say, is about $1,000 per square meter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to think about that. I don't know why we still, even in real estate, we still use feet, we still use acres. I wish we would just go one way or the other, because I'm constantly like, wait, is it square foot? everywhere takes US dollars. That's the other thing. Like when you come here, you can use US dollars. All real estate is sold in US dollars. It's all priced in US dollars, which is kind of strange.
Right. I think I was listening to a podcast about someone that came from Canada and they wanted to use Canadian dollars. They're like, no, what's this? US dollars only. Please. So with the question for those people that go down there and have those like temporary visas, you know, 90 days at a time, can you be eligible for the healthcare then if you do that? Probably not.
No. No. But now, so things have changed because of COVID. So we don't require a negative COVID test, which I don't necessarily feel great about that. Entry requirements do not require a negative COVID test, but you do have to prove that you have health insurance to cover you in the case that you were to contract COVID in country.
Oh, okay.
When COVID first hit, this is one of the other things that I love about Costa Rica, the president came on and he reassured everyone who was in country at that time, no one would be refused service. Like he publicly came on and said that no one will be refused care, whether you have CAHA, like in-country insurance, whether you have out-of-country insurance, we will make sure that you have care, which was amazing. You know, he just said, you're here and you're part of our country. Now, it's been going on for a while. So they do require that if you're coming into the country that you prove that you would have insurance to cover you if you were to become sick.
Right. And okay, just so this, so it is April 2021. So if we want to listen to this podcast in the future, and the US now is rolling out the COVID vaccine pretty well. I'm, you know, in Colorado, it just, I think, rolled out to this 16 plus crowd. I don't know what's like in California, but I feel like most people I know have gotten one shot, including you so far.
Yeah.
So is the accessibility, like, have you guys, are you guys like dependent on like the US trends, or did your the own government there like get access to the vaccines like 3 months ago, or are they just getting them?
Yeah, no, we've had access for a while. I can't remember the numbers of how many we bought, but the initial purchase was enough to cover more than half of all the citizens in the country, or more than half of the people in the country. Right now, people who do have the national coverage, right, CAHA, right now, so they're starting at the highest, similar to what they're doing in the United States, the oldest personnel first. Healthcare workers, I believe, have all been vaccinated. They've done that whole round, emergency personnel. So then we're going to like 70 to 65-ish, and then it'll go 65, whatever. I'm in the lowest category. I think the cutoff was like 58. I didn't quite meet that yet. So I will be the last round of vaccines. And I wouldn't be against, like, if I happen to go to the U.S., I don't know, I would figure out, I don't have insurance in the U.S. anymore, but I might figure out a way to pay to get that sped up. But, you know, I think I felt relatively low risk here because so much of our living is outdoors and people are very respectful about wearing masks.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, keep talking. You can ask.
No, I was just saying, I just heard what they did in China. Like they just built like all these facilities for testing and extra like hospitals within like days. It was insane.
There were a couple, there was a kid on the news that built his own hand washing station for anyone passing by that wanted to. I think it was at the BART station or something, or rapid transit, which is super cute. I was curious, a couple things, questions wise. I didn't know Spanish. I had to sneak into the San Jose airport to buy a Spanish English translation dictionary, which was great because the family I stayed at Bosque del Cabo were gone and it was just this Costa Rican girl. So every night we would just kind of laugh and try and figure out what we were saying. I'm assuming that's the case still, like that they speak predominantly Spanish. And do you know Spanish? And if you don't know it, have at least a little dictionary to help you get through, because that's what I did and it worked fine.
Right. There are many people, particularly in the touristy areas, you can find people who speak English. I came here with a pretty limited, my Spanish instruction is still limited to Duolingo. I'm a big fan of the Duolingo and just practicing in person. So that's, which is, I always tell people it's very challenging for me as an English teacher. So I teach people how to speak properly with, you know, taking care for grammatical. People are gracious. They're happy when you try, you know, there's a lot of pointing and, you know, you can work your way around. I personally, I know people who don't speak Spanish and they've lived here for years. I personally find that a little bit I couldn't do that. I mean, I feel like I'm living here. The language of the country is Spanish. I want to learn Spanish. I would not describe myself as fluent in Spanish. I can totally get by in any situation because people are gracious and forgiving, and I've gotten bolder about what I'm willing to attempt.
It's funny because I remember being in taxi. Also, a couple other, I guess, rapid fire questions. Like Carol, I know she's got some too. I remember in taxis, and you know, they didn't know it, but when the roads were closed, or there was construction on the roads closed, and they would just turn off the car, and I would just like take a nap, read a book. Do they still do that?
I haven't been in that situation, but I can see that happening.
It wasn't in OSA. It was further up. I think I just remember, I don't know where I was, but it was pretty hilarious. It kind of cracked me up. I literally ended up taking a nap because it was just, we're just sitting there.
Right. Because there aren't a lot of alternate routes, you know, I mean, there's like one road. So when we have construction, I mean, you could be stuck. So I can see them turning off the car and just having a little nap.
Two more questions really quick. Okay. Temperature, it's so fast. What it's like, and someone can expect it, and then best time to visit. And then I'll let Carol go. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
but I remember it was hot. You mentioned it was really hot, and I remember it being very humid. And so I could, anything I had cotton, I just didn't wear. And then anything that was like, which nowadays, I mean, 2002, it wasn't as prevalent, but now everyone has like athletic gear. So it breathes and it's fine. And that was what I had to wear all the time.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that worked. And I'm assuming no cotton, that's the case. And then also the best time to visit.
Yeah. I wear cotton occasionally, but I tend to, I'm almost always like sleeveless. It's hot. Like where I live, it's hot and it's humid. You can go 45 minutes and you can be like, I was in San Jose over the weekend and I had to have like a sweater on, like I was cold in San Jose, but that's probably ridiculous. It was maybe high 60s, low 70s if we're going Fahrenheit, but I've gotten so used to it being so. And that's one of the things when people are deciding where they want to live, like climate varies a lot. So you want to check that out and see what's most comfortable for you. So on this side, you know, we have two coasts because we're an isthmus, I guess, technically. So on the Pacific side, best times to visit are dry season begins in early December and lasts through April. So I think the best times to visit are either at the beginning of the dry season, beginning to mid dry season, or possibly even at the very beginning of the rainy season. So like right now we had rain last night, but it's still going to be a beautiful day. So it's not too rainy all the time, but it's also not dry, dry, dry. When it's dry, 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 we've got dust and it's just too dry. So I would say best time to visit would be any time in December. January's still pretty good. Once we get into February and March, it's really pretty dry. And then April starts to get wet again. The Caribbean side is almost like the opposite. So a good time to visit the Caribbean coast is when we're in our rainy season. They tend to be a little bit drier there. So, and that's a beautiful place to go as well. The Caribbean coast, the Caribbean side, totally different vibe. More, you know, I don't want to say Rastafarian, but it's more of a Caribbean vibe. It's just, it's very different. I love visiting there. I love the Caribbean side.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question? I feel like sometimes I just talk and I don't answer the question.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. I actually was supposed to go on that side, but I ended up staying and taking a kayak trip and ended up staying. That was a lot longer than, so I just bypassed the Caribbean side. And then I went to Tabacon, Arenal, Nicoya Peninsula, Manuel Antonio. And then I just went all over there. Those areas. It was fun.
Okay. And then, so the part of our series like to do, it's called like a rapid fire. So like everyone we interview will have these same questions. So what's the popular religion there?
It's Catholic country.
Right. And then what do you eat for breakfast?
Oh, well, this morning I had red bananas. I'm a vegan, so I'm not the best person to ask, but I will usually have some form of fruit and then like a handful of nuts, or I make homemade peanut butter. So I just have something simple. Mango smoothie. Exactly. If I go out, I always have gallo pinto. I love it. They eat rice and beans for breakfast. It's phenomenal.
Oh, nice.
But I don't make it at home.
Okay. Is there a traditional music that is native to the country, or like reggae?
There's traditional Costa Rican music. It's Latin. I don't know how I would describe it. We used to, when I worked at the school, we would, on National Day, we would celebrate and all the teachers would do the traditional dances. So we all had to learn the traditional dances. Yeah. It's a very, it's a culture that loves celebrations. So they love to party.
And what's the closest surf spot to you to the OHA?
What's a good surf spot to me? I would probably say Playa Chamán or Playa Hermosa is even better. 20 minutes.
Very good. And what's the money called? I know you take a lot of American dollars, but what's their money?
Yeah. Colones.
Colones?
Colones. Yes. Colones. And it's a little daunting at first because things cost 1,000 colones. So we call it one mil. So something is like in the thousands, right? So if you buy, I don't know, like a candy bar, I guess, might be like 1,000 colones. And you're like, what? And it's a bill. So it's like,
so that's funny money for $1 million.
Right.
All right.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay. Well, Catherine, thank you so much.
It was so
much.
Nice to meet you. We'll probably be reaching out to talk about other stuff. When we get close to our visit, we'll probably ask for some advice.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I got to see new, fantastic, beautiful women from a totally different part of the world. It's awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. All right. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, you too. All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. If you liked the podcast, please rate, review, share, and subscribe to Where Next Podcast, or visit our site, wherenextpodcast.com.